9. Let's take our Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew. Chapter number 25. Sort of feel like that we've had a little bit of a rain from the Lord this week in our hearts. And I told somebody I always enjoy getting to come home because I know we're going to have church. And we've had it this week, and I just feel like I've been able to come and get in on it. And I appreciate it. I love Brother Ken and Sister Renee and the family. Our paths crossed, I guess, the first time over at Brother Wayne Brown. And he invited me. He heard me preach that night and invited me anyway. So, but I'm so glad for the people that God puts in our lives, aren't you? That helps us and strengthens us. That you don't always have to be at their house and them at your house. You just know that they're there doing what God wants them to do. And what a blessing it is. And we are thankful. We've been preaching some on the subject of the many faces of Christ at His coming. We have noticed that the emphasis is not when He's coming. We don't know that. But He gives us some word on who is coming so that we'll know how to prepare for Him. He said, when I come, I'll be a thief. You be ready. And then He said last night, when I come, He said, I'll come with the face of a bridegroom. You need not only to have a guarded readiness, but a genuine readiness. Boy, I couldn't help but think while I was preaching last night that if we'd have been up here at the tabernacle, it wouldn't have made no difference. Talking about that wedding, we could have had us 4 or 5 barrels of rice. Just run by every now and then, throw one up in the air. Somebody said, what are you doing? Well, we're going to a wedding. That's what they do when the festivities start. They'll throw that rice. Just run and get you a handful and throw it. You got a right to. You're going to a wedding. It's going to be a celebration. You don't have to wait to get there for it to start. You got something real and genuine on the inside, it can start tonight. Just grab you a handful of rice and go to throwing. But I want us to look in Matthew chapter number 25. We're going to read starting at verse number 34. And I want us to... Well, before I begin, I wanted to tell you tonight, it might be a surprise, that I know what Jesus is going to look like when He gets here. I've actually got pictures of Him at home. I do. Now, I didn't say I knew when He's coming, but I know what He's going to look like. Now, I'm not just talking about the thief or the bridegroom. I know what color His eyes is going to be. I should have brought you a picture. You're not believing me, are you? I know what color His hair is going to be. I know how long it's going to be. I know how tall He's going to be. I know how much He's going to weigh. Are y'all interested? Well, I'd like for you just to take a moment and turn and look at somebody, anybody. Go ahead. Did you look at somebody? Did you know that's what he's going to look like when he gets back? See, he's not only coming as a thief and as a bridegroom, but he said, I'm coming as a person. A lot of folks think that what they do to folks that they communicate with down here on earth won't have anything to do with him coming. But he ain't going to be just some distant governor or mayor or president. He's going to be the face of everybody you've had anything to do with throughout life. He's coming as a person. Well, look at the text and see if it isn't so. Verse 31. When the Son of Man, that word phrase, Son of Man, emphasizes the humanity of Christ. He was the Son of God who became the Son of Man that the sons of men might become the sons of God. It emphasizes him. He said the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but he said the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He's the Son of Man. In other words, he's the Galilean. He was a person. He came eating and drinking. He was betrayed. He's the Son of Man. Notice it. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Verse 34. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Notice it. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Ye have done it unto me. He said, I'm the face of everybody you've had anything to do with in life. Oh, we stand and talk and testify and say, we can't wait until the Lord comes, honey, when He's been around you all day. Represented in the person and people that you've dealt with, and you hadn't taken time to tell Him you love Him. You hadn't hugged His neck. You've scorned Him, said something sour to Him. Slammed the door in His face. You thought that's just your wife you was talking to. You thought that's just the guy down at the job you was telling off. You thought that was a neighbor you was evening up the score with, honey. I want you to know Jesus will represent all of those when He comes. He is the face of everybody you know. And He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto these, He said, when I come, you'll recognize me because I'll look just like them. I will represent them. And look on. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. I was naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him and saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or a thirst or a stranger or a naked or a sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them saying, verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as you did it not unto the one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. I am them and they are me. When I come, I'm going to be a person. I'm going to be the lowly Galilean. I'm going to be the Son of Man in the representation of everybody you've ever known. Where the rubber meets the road in this matter of the coming of Christ is how we treat one another in this old world. That's what he's concerned with. You can be seated. Let's suppose tonight we could bring a young lad up here that maybe no one in this church knew. 9, maybe 10 years old. I wonder how we would respond and treat that 10-year-old boy tonight. If we knew 20 years from now we was going to face him in a different setting. Let's say that young boy is going to be the trooper that patrols these roads in 20 years. He's the one that's going to pull you over and has the power to decide on whether you get a warning or a real ticket. And when the window comes down and he walks up and looks in and you look into his face, you realize that you're looking at that boy that you went to church with 20 years ago in a mature body and face. If you knew that tonight, how would you treat him? If you knew that ahead of time, how would you treat him? Huh? I know how you'd treat him. Real kind, sweet, be extra special. You'd shake his hand every service, even though he's 10 years old. You'd rub his head, slip him a dollar bill on his birthday. Son, you're just going to grow up and be somebody. I know that. Because you realize on that day when he pulls you over, he's going to say, hey, Bill, how you doing? I tell you, I remember those days when we went to church to get... Just go on. Don't worry about it. Go on. What if we could bring a young lady up here, 10 or 11 years old, and you knew in 20 years she was going to be the president of the bank and the one who was going to decide on whether you got the loan on the house. Wonder how you'd treat her now. If you knew that, how would you treat her now? Well, did you know that little supposed 10 or 11 year old boy, that little supposed 10 or 11 year old girl, every little boy and girl that's in this church tonight has one who represents them in eternity, and you will see them again in the face of Christ. And you will have to answer as to how you responded to them in this world. As we all will have to answer as to how we responded to one another in this world. He will be the face of everybody that you have ever known, ever had any dealings with. Well, I'll tell you, that puts a whole new meaning to the second coming, doesn't it? That he's going to look just like the person that sits beside you. Somebody said, well, I feel sorry for him. Well, we're not going there. He said, I was them, and they were me. And when he comes, we'll see it. They said, well, I don't remember. Oh, yes, look real close. Don't you see I was your neighbor? Don't you see I was your boss? Don't you see me in that little, I was them. Wow. There are three things that I want to bring to your attention concerning this matter of Jesus being a person when he comes. Now, I said to you as a thief, the way we prepare it is we have to stand on guard. As the bridegroom, we must have a genuine readiness. There has to be something inside. But as a person, we must be constantly realizing that we're dealing with the Galilean in every contact that we have. There is a measure of Christ in every relationship that we have. Now let me point out three things about this matter of the person who is coming. I want you to notice that as the Scripture calls him the Son of Man, that he is the person, Jesus is the person who came for you. He's the Galilean who came for you. He was the person in humility 2,000 years ago that came into this world. And one of the hindrances to our worship is we can never realize that he was like us when he was here. And the thing that hindered in those days, those many multitudes who came in contact with him, and the religious folks and the Pharisees who scorned him and made fun of him and mocked him and ultimately crucified him, is they could not see that he was the Galilean. He was the person who came for us. You know, we must be careful in our views of the coming of the Christ. I know we all have our little theories on what's going to happen. I guess that's all right, but you know the Pharisees had their theories on. They believed the Messiah was coming. They had two or three ideas on how he was going to come. And it was those ideas that blinded them to who he was. Oh, they said he'll come on a throne. He'll have a big crown. He'll take all this stuff over. And they missed him by a million miles because he came as a person in humility. He mingled and mixed with them daily, and they missed him. I don't know what your theories are on the second coming, but honey, if you've got it all pat down in a box and you just figure you've got it all just right, well, you're going to be surprised. We'll all be fooled in a measure. But that's not what's important. The important thing is how we relate to one another now, knowing that he's the person, not only that came, but the person that's coming, the same lowly Galilean. He's the one who came. Think about it. He came in a body, did he not? Flesh and bone and blood. He came into this world. A body, he said, thou hast prepared me. He came as a baby. He's a person. He's a Galilean. He's a baby. Just think about it. In that day, with all the multitudes of people, there's a little woman carrying around a little infant baby, a little child. 6 pounds, so many ounces. 7 pounds, 8 pounds, so many ounces. And guess who that baby was? And the world had no idea. Why? Because they didn't think he'd come like that. He came as a boy. He sat in the temple there and instructed even the doctors and the Lord. He's a little boy. And they had no idea who he was. He was a builder. But they scoffed at him. They said, oh, he's just a carpenter. He's the son of a carpenter. Well, he can't be. He can't be anything special. He's just a carpenter. Well, they didn't know how much of a carpenter he was. He had framed up this whole world. He came and was broken for you and I. And He was a blessing, wasn't He? But He was all of that as a person. If I could drive that thought home to our hearts, He was a person. But that was more than just a little baby. That was more than just a little boy. That was more than just a builder. That was the Son of God who became the Son of Man. And think of how He was treated when He came. Herod said, "Have all the children killed. Hopefully we'll get Him." The doctors and lawyers didn't recognize Him for who He was. The Pharisees made fun of Him because He was from Nazareth, His hometown. Oh, they said He's just a baby, just a boy, just a builder. But I'm here to tell you, one of these days, they're going to face that baby. And they're going to say, "Oh God, if I'd only known who that was." One of these days, they'll face that boy. One of these days, they'll see that builder. But it'll be too late. They've recognized Him too late. When they come before Him, they're going to say, "My God, I remember Him. I've seen Him before." He said, "Yeah, you did see Me. But you rejected Me. I was the person who came." I ask you tonight, have you recognized Him as the person who came? I do want to say to you that if you have not received and if you don't know the Jesus that came, the lowly Galilean, you don't want to see the one that's coming. You better have already recognized Him. He's the person who came for you yesterday. I'm glad He came, aren't you? I'm glad the Son of Man came. I'm glad there was a lowly Galilean. I'm glad that heaven turned the light on in my soul and let me recognize who He was. But He's not only the person who came in His humility. But the emphasis in our text is He is the person who is here in His humanity. Now, most of us would stand and testify and say that we have seen and recognized and we do know the Galilean that came. We can tell you all about Him and sing about Him and preach about Him. But have you seen the Jesus that is here? Did you see Him today? Did you recognize Him anywhere that you have been? Because the truth of the matter is, He is here. I was in Kingsport, Tennessee in a meeting. Brother Ken and I went to the store, corner store over there to get me a mocha. And I came out of the store and I was starting toward my truck. And I heard a voice to the right of me. There was a little road in front of that store that went up, curved to the left, had an incline to it. And it was a voice that had an impediment to it. And I heard that voice and it said to me, how far are you going? And I heard it faintly, but I heard it. And I stopped and I listened again and I heard the voice speak again and he said, how far are you going? This man was a crippled man, probably from some kind of disease, probably somewhere in the late 60s, maybe 70 years old. His feet were turned in, he was doubled over, his hands were drawed up. Yet he had a sack that I found out had some metal cans in it, and he had some like tent rods of aluminum under his arm that he told me he went out daily and collected that he might be able to subsidize his income. Very sweet and precious fella. When I heard that voice the second time, I said to myself, I've heard that voice before. And then the third time, he said, how far are you going? And I turned and looked, and I realized I'd seen him before. He was coming very slow. It was in the mid-afternoon around that little road and coming down through there. I knew I'd heard that voice, and I knew I'd seen him. Guess who it was? You got any idea? It was Jesus. You believe that? It sure was. It was Jesus. Holy Ghost said, that's Jesus. Pick him up. I said, where are you going? If he'd have said California, I'd have headed in that direction because I done found out who he was. I said, come on, get in. I put his stuff in the back. And the best of his ability, he got up in that truck, closed the door, and he turned around and he said, I like your truck. To myself, I said, well, thank you, Jesus. You're the one give it to me. He said, what you doing in this area? I said, well, I'm preaching up the road here or whatever. And he said, well, I know the Lord. And we began to fellowship a little bit, just that speech impediment, broken English. He said, just go up this road. And he directed me to where his little old humble abode, the meagerest of homes. I went in and backed up and I got out. And he got out. I didn't tell him, but I said, Jesus, if you don't mind, I'm going to get this stuff out for you. I don't want you to get it out. I did. And I crawled over the back and I put her out there for him. And he was so grateful. You'll always be grateful wherever you find him. And I pulled off and cried all the way back to the fifth wheel. When I got there, Esther said, what in the world's wrong with you? I said, I've been riding around with Jesus. You said, preacher, I don't believe it. Well, you don't believe the text because he said, in as much as you've done it unto them, you've done it unto me. I said, hallelujah, I had an opportunity to pick Jesus up today. Couldn't believe he wanted to ride around with me. That ain't no game, that's real. That's real. It helped us to realize that that woman we live with around the house ain't just our wife. There's Jesus in there. One of these days he'll say, I don't like the way you talked to me and scorned me and mistreated me. And you're going to say, Lord, I don't remember doing that. He said, in as much as you've done it unto her, you did it unto me. I didn't like how you made me feel so small and insignificant. He said, Lord, I didn't know I did that. He said, well, I was 10 years old around your feet, and that's when you did it. That gives a whole new meaning to the second coming, don't it? He's the person that came to you today. He's the person that came for you, the person that came to you. And then, can I say to you from our text that he is the person that is coming after you. Here is the emphasis. He's not only the person in humility and the person in humanity, everybody you see and everybody you deal with, but he's the person in the heavenlies. He's going to be the same one there that was back there and here today. There won't be any difference. When he comes again, I say to you, don't think he's going to be the mayor, the governor, the president, honey. It's going to go deeper than that. He's going to be the mother whose heart you broke. The old saint you forgot. The enemy you would not love. The poor person you overcharged. The mother or father you neglected. The missionary you allowed to go hungry. The preacher that you talked about. The little child you offended. He's the person you laughed at for being mentally handicapped. He's the person you didn't have time to visit. He's the person you took advantage of. He's the wife or the husband you hurt with your words. We're waiting in line to see Him, and we're going to be amazed at who He's going to look like. The face of Christ. We will be amazed. I got a preacher friend up in North Carolina that is also an evangelist, and he was going home one night after a meeting to his home, and got in a little hurry in one of them curves out there on 26 and sort of run a fellow off the road. Didn't mean to, but that's what happened. Didn't hurt nobody, no damage or anything. He went on home. He said, the next night I was coming back that same way from the church to the house. And he said, a blue light got to flashing behind us. Said, I had another preacher with me, and thank God he was driving. And said, he pulled us over. And he told the driver to come back there in the car, and he was back in the car, stayed a good amount of time. And so the preacher said, I decided I better go back there and see what's happening. And he said, I went by and picked on the window, and the officer hit the button, said it came down. And he said, officer, is there something wrong that it's taking so long? He said, yeah, there's something wrong. He said, last night I come through here in my own personal car, and you run me off the road. You're lucky I don't give you a ticket. Get up there in your car and shut your mouth. And he said he went to writing tickets on that poor old other preacher. He didn't realize one night he's going to have to face the same guy the next night. Wouldn't it be something if you was heading to court to pay a ticket? Run somebody off the road to get there in a hurry, and you get in, you sit down, they come out and make the announcement that the judge is delayed. Circumstances. And you're watching your watch. And finally, after an hour or so, they say, arise, your honorable so-and-so's made it, and he comes in with his long robe, and he's the guy that you just run off the road. I wonder what he's going to do to you. This is the emphasis that Jesus is saying. He's saying, I am the Christ that is among you today, but I am that same Christ that's going to come, and I will represent, I will have the face of all of those, and I will be the one that you will have to deal with. I will be that person. I was thinking about a fella up in Kentucky. And he was sharing how his brother was, I don't know, an alcoholic. He said, my brother lived with my mom and my dad had passed away. And he said, I decided one day that I was going to go to my brother and I was going to tell him everything I ever thought about him. He said, I went to my mama's house, and he said, my brother was in the bed in there, coming off a drunk, sick. He said, I went in there, and I jerked the covers back, and said, I just began to tell him everything I ever thought, and how low down he was, how he'd mistreated mom, and how he took advantage of the situation. He said, I told him to get up out of there, get his clothes, and get out, and not to come back. He said, my brother got up, put a few things in an old paper bag, and said he pushed the screen door open, started down the steps, and out through the road he went, and it was raining. He said he barely got out the door, and said, I heard my mama in the kitchen. She called out my name. She said, Noah, come in here. He said, I went in the kitchen. She said, son, there's a few things you don't understand. She said, first of all, it took just as much pain and love to get that boy into this world as it did you. And said, secondly, to you, he's a drunk. But to me, he's a son. And said, what I want you to do is go out there and find him and walk around with him a little bit and think about that. He said, I made my way out and started toward him. Said, it had dawned on me. When I began to realize how low down I was and how I treated God, but yet I was his son and he still loved me. And I'm so glad he did. And said, I ran down that road looking for him and I was a-hollering, no, come back. Mama still loves you. Come back. Mama still loves you. Said, I took him back to the house. I took his old wet clothes off. I dried him off. I laid him in bed and I covered him up and kissed his forehead. And said, I realized that the only way I'd ever be able to see that boy the way I needed to is I was going to have to see him through the eyes of Mama. Because there wasn't no way I could love Mama and not love him. And I'm here to tell you how we ought to ask the Lord to let us look at one another through His eyes. And to love one another as He loves us and loves each other. Because the truth of the matter is, He's a-coming, He's a-coming. Did I tell you He's a-coming? But when He gets here, you want to know what He looks like? Would you do it again? Just turn and look at somebody. Surprise, surprise. He's going to come as a representation. He's going to come as a person. Representing everybody that we know. And I'll tell you something. I don't want to be that like that latter class there. I want to be like the former. I want to have treated others like I would treat him. Respond to others like I would respond to him. He's the Galilean. I wonder, did you see him today? Has anybody seen Jesus around Bowden today? Is it? He ain't been nowhere where you're at, is he? Oh, he's been there. And you better get to seeing him. And it'll change your attitude one toward another if you see him. It'll make you just want to go up to somebody. And hey, this ain't unscriptural. This ain't unscriptural. He's in that heart right here. Isn't he in that heart? Is he in there? It'll make you want to go up and say, boy, I love you, Jesus. I so appreciate you, Lord. And don't we see him when we come to church and folks get to testify and get to sing him? We say, boy, I saw the Lord in you. Well, he's in there all the time. Don't mistreat him. Don't be ugly toward him. Visit him every now and then. Give him a call. Hug his neck. Say, boy, I just sure like to get see Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, sometime tomorrow, just put you on some, slip you on, you don't have to dress up real neat. Just put you on some common clothes and slip down to rest home and pick any one of those doors and slide in there and just sit down with somebody. And they may not even, what you might call, be all there. But he's all there. Oh, yeah. He's all there. Spend you a little time in there. And I guarantee you, when you come out, you'll be so far. I'll tell you what, I felt the Lord in that place. Because he's in there. I was up in Tennessee getting some gas. Two boys pulled up in the pickup. One of them yelled out the window, Ask me a question I'm not being used to being asked. Said, do you know where the liquor store is around here? And so I didn't respond because it didn't register. I mean, I'm the preacher. So I just kept, but I didn't realize I was the only one out there. I mean, I didn't realize that. I thought he was talking to somebody else. I just kept pumping. He said, hey, you know where the liquor store is around here? And I turned around and looked at him. And the Holy Ghost flooded my soul and said, don't you scorn him. He may be one of mine. You don't know it before it's over with. So I walked up to the window just as tenderly. My heart was tender and I said to him, no, I don't know where you can locate an ABC store, but I said, I can tell you how to find Jesus. And I felt it in my heart. I reached through the window and I just touched his hand, patted it a little bit as they spun out. I'll see that old boy one of these days in the face of Christ. How I responded to him. He's going to be a lot of people. You're going to get up there and say, well, boy, here we are. Here's the Lord has come. Here we come. Here we come. We're waiting. And he comes out and you look and you say, man alive, is that my wife? Is that my cousin? Is that guy? Man, I never thought I'd see him again. Is that who that is? He's going to shake his head and say, yeah, that's who I am. And that's what we're dealing with. It's how you treated me in the person of everybody else. I'm the lowly Galilean. Getting to the place to where you can see Jesus in the faces of others. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, it's been a wonderful week.